Hey everybody, welcome to another one of these. I am in the car, and I just purchased a memory card because I took my old memory card out and did not replace it in the recorder. So I was all ready to go, I was all fired up to talk about some shit, and then I was like, oh, I can't record. So then I just had the most boringest drive to Thornton, where I purchased one. That's the big story for today, Thornton. Ah, Thornton. What a great place to live if you were like, you know what I want to do is live somewhere that's got the traffic and shittiness of a city, but the strip malls and Best Buys of a suburb. It's really the worst of, not even both worlds, it's the worst of like 500 worlds. It's the worst of the multiverse of possible worlds that you could live with. Speaking of the worst of the worlds, I'm recording this on Saturday evening, and tomorrow is the Super Bowl. Da, 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 da. It's the Super Bowl. Let's watch football right now. Da 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 da. Football. Da 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 da. Football. Da 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 da. Now, I didn't have a whole lot to say about the Super Bowl, but guess what? Now I do. I feel my hand has been forced, okay? And I'll tell you why. At work yesterday, I asked a simple question, which is this. Why does there need to be an AFC and an NFC, an American Football Conference, and a National Football Conference? And when I asked this question, everyone treated me like I was a fucking idiot. Like, why would you need those two things? No shit, dummy, because... And you know what the answer was? That's how it's always been. Oh! Okay. Well, if something's always been a way, if there's one thing I've learned in my entire life, it's that it should remain that way. That's what I've learned. So good news, I guess we don't have to pay all the black people playing football. We don't have to pay to play because they're our slaves, because that's how it was for a long time. And so why change it? Ah! Jesus Christ. You would have thought I asked, like, why do you love your mom? You know, the way I was responded to for asking this question. And then, you know, I was like, oh, okay, so the Broncos are playing in the Super Bowl. Who are they playing? And it was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, what is wrong with you? Why are you being purposely difficult right now? Which I swear to God I wasn't. I'm not, like, purposely trying to not listen. I just don't care. And I don't have, like, cable TV. I don't listen to the radio. I do not pay any attention to sports. Why would I know this? Why would that be something? Meanwhile, by the way, I'm getting an ass load of shit from somebody who I've shown probably a dozen times how to download a PDF to a desktop and then print it from a computer. Okay? Who's the real out of it person at that point? Who? I beg of you, who is out of it? And I'll tell you, let me tell you something else. I was invited to a Super Bowl party, which I kind of have to go to because it's by Poon Master Flex's friend. This party by Poon Master Flex's friend. Read for you by Peter. And it's a Super Bowl party because this friend's into football, I guess. And here's what's great. Do you know what time the Super Bowl starts? It's like 4:30 in the afternoon. And do you know how long an NFL game takes? It's like 4 hours. So here's what I love about this. People who are giving me shit about not following football, and I'm like, hold the phone. I'm going to do a little math. I would say the average waking time of a person is about 15 hours, right? The average useful daytime for any given person where you're awake and you're not just like showering and brushing your teeth is probably in the neighborhood of 15 hours. That means on Saturday and Sunday, you have a combined 30 hours. Let's call it 32, just because that makes this upcoming math easy. So you have 32 hours in your weekend to not work and to do other things and to have a life. You know, you have to fit into this 32 hours all the things you need to do to continue on your life the next week, in addition to doing all the things that, like, you would want to do because you don't have to fucking work. So you've got 32 hours. You're going to waste 1/8 of your time watching football every weekend. 1/8 of that time, you're just, you know what? I can spend more than 10% of my life that I have to myself watching football. And I'm the out of it fucking weirdo. Because I'm like, do I want to spend 10% of my time doing that? No, fuck that. I don't. I don't want to spend 10% of my life watching a game on TV. I spent less than that watching fucking The Price is Right. And at least that's different every time. My God, at least the games are like novel and weird to watch. I mean, they don't do the same game every fucking time. It's not the same people playing every fucking time. And let me tell you something else really dumb. We were talking about how, so Peyton Manning, quarterback for the Denver Broncos, is his jersey, they weren't letting kids wear it to school because I guess whatever his fucking stupid number is, they're like, oh, that's a gang number. You know what? Fuck off with this shit with the gang numbers and the gang colors, okay? That is so fucking stupid. That's like, okay, so I can't wear anything red or blue. Okay, perfect. Well, I'll just wear purple all the time. That's perfect. That's wonderful. Green? It's just like, what are you worried about? And I'll tell you who's worried about that. I'll tell you who prevents that from happening. Fucking the whitest people in the world are the ones who are like, oh, don't let your kids wear a Peyton Manning Broncos jersey. Because what will happen? Do they really think, oh, some gang is going to see a fifth grader in a Broncos jersey and be like, oh shit, that's our number, dog? Or, oh shit, those motherfuckers are encroaching on our territory. Because this is the gang that uses the word encroaching. Because they've made some better decisions with their life. They have some fucking vocabulary. Good for them. Do they really think that's going to happen? I went to this gang train. I didn't go to a gang training. I lied. I specifically decided not to go to a gang training. And then asked some people about it. And they were like, oh, it was great. They told us about, like, which colors people are wearing. And, like, what a bandana means. And I'm like, oh my God, fuck off. Are you kidding me right now with this shit? I am so tired of hearing about, like, ooh, this is a secret. This is like the same thing as, like, I'll tell you, people really love to panic about a signal that they think is happening that they don't understand. You know, whether it's gangs or gays. And they're like, oh, well, okay, so if you tap your shoe this way in a bathroom stall, that means you're gay. And you're like, let's do blowjobs. But if you tap your other shoe, it means let's be gay but do butt sex. And like all, and it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? If that was a thing, we would all know. If it was a thing, like, okay, come to this bathroom stall and do this, and then we fuck. Wouldn't we know? And why would you even need that? You're just like, or I could just get on Grindr and find about 800 different dudes that I could fuck and we would fuck. How about that? No, I would rather go about it this esoteric, crazy way. Because I'm not really into the sex. I'm into the fooling straights. That's why I chose to be gay. I continue to live a gay lifestyle because it's fun for me to fool straights. That's what I'm doing with my time and my life. No, they don't care what you think. They don't care if you know what they're doing. They don't care. Also, by the way, it's like such a big fucking deal. It's like, oh my God, can you imagine if you went in a bathroom and a dude was in a stall blowing another dude? Who fucking cares? I would rather a dude was blowing another dude mildly quietly. We don't need to do porno moans and have the sound of, like, you know, I don't know, an old car trying to get out of a fucking mud pit. But as long as you are keeping it cool, who cares? I would rather they're doing that than taking shits. I mean, that's going to disturb, that's going to be less problematic for me, you know, as a person using the bathroom. It's like, hey, as long as you're not taking shits, I'm fine. As long as you're not peeing all over the toilet, that's fine. Because that's the real tragedy when someone's doing that shit. So there you go. That's fucking football. That's what I think of the Super Bowl. This is what's so fucking annoying about Super Bowl, okay? Like, I'm pretty outspoken about my views on football, which are basically the views that are like, oh, I don't think we should, like, allow people to just get horrible head injuries that we fucking know about, but we don't really prepare them for that eventuality. We don't really take care of them after they've done this for our entertainment. And we pay them quite a bit, but honestly, it's not great. Like, the amount of money they get is good, but whatever. And, like, I think I've been pretty outspoken about my views on football regarding it being fucking destroying academics, honestly. I think football and college don't need to be together. I don't understand why that is. Now, here's what I can see. It's good that people can get an education, okay? But I have multiple people around me who work in higher education, and they will tell you, for the most part, that the football players are the absolute worst in terms of, like, they don't do the shit they're supposed to do. Everything's late. Whenever they don't do something, they're like, I had football practice. And I was listening to this guy talk about it, and he was like, I don't know, some documentary or something, or a thing I saw on YouTube. It was a former football player. And he was just like, you don't understand how hard it is. Because, like, as a football player, a lot of times it's like, all right, you get up early as shit and go do weights, and you have to eat a lot, so you have to take a lot of breaks to eat during the day. And you go to practice every day, and, like, you have to go to these games, so you miss a lot of classes, and you do all this shit. And I was like, hey, fucko, do you know what I did in college? I went to class, and I worked two jobs. Do you think anybody was like, oh, well, you work so that you do not get the same consideration for working that you do for playing football? So it's funny because I'm like, well, is it a job or not? Is it some, you know, if it's that hard on you, if it's making it that difficult for you to be a student, maybe you should quit football then. Maybe that's not what you should be doing. Okay? How about that? Maybe a school should not be set up to where it's like, oh, what do the football players need? Well, let's make sure that happens. Fuck that. I saw Chris Cluey, who NFL player Chris Cluey, was like, I don't think that colleges should be where football, where NFL players come from. Like, the NFL should have to create their own league. They should have to have their own farm league that they pull from. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be a college thing. It shouldn't be the thing it is in college, where it's like this big fucking deal. And I agree with that. I think it's like, hey, if you're going to play football, go play football. And if football players can get paid, and, you know, why can't, if the football team is making so much fucking money, because that's what they always say. They're always like, oh, our college football team makes so much more money than our volleyball team or whatever. Well, then they should have no fucking problem turning that money around and paying for their players to go to college. That should be no problem. In fact, they should be less hampered because now they don't have to deal with Title IX and shit, right? Is that, that's what they're always saying. They're always like, oh, it's so hard for us because we make all the money and all the other sports take it away. Okay, well, if you're making so much fucking money, go for it. See what happens. See how it goes. See how expensive it is to build a stadium. Oh, but that doesn't matter because the taxpayers will pay for that anyway. I saw this thing on the news that was like, oh, look at Bronco Fever is really helping the economy. And it was like a sports memorabilia store, and they're selling all these jerseys and shit. And I was just like, oh, and they had this great, it was like this couple, and it was like a young couple, you know, and this dude is like looking like some hard gangster ass motherfucker, and he's just looking at a jersey, and his girlfriend like comes up from behind and hugs him, and his eyes are just dead. And you're like, wow, this is, you really chose quite the moment to put on the news of like dead-eyed, I don't care about this relationship. I don't care about you. I don't care about my life. It was really, it was a nice little moment they captured. Instead of being like, oh, we're sort of half hugging and looking at and pointing at things and stuff, it was just like, no, this person's just like, staring at a jersey, thinking about, like, I don't know what I've done with my life. But it was like, oh, it really stimulates the economy. Really? It stimulates the economy. How much? Do you know how much the stadium cost in Denver? It was like $250 million. And the taxpayers paid for most of it. And it's not called, like, Jim, Steve, Diane, Betty Stadium. They don't put everybody's fucking name from the city in there, even though they should. It's like Invesco Field or some crap like that. Fuck you. Are you kidding me? And then we're like, well, they paid for it, so I guess they should get to put their name. Fuck you. We paid for it. Everybody but you paid for it. You didn't pay for that. Fuck that. And it's like, oh yeah, well, I'm sure that the money this guy's getting from selling this jersey is really making up for the cost of that. I bet he'll make about $250 million this year, so then that'll go right back in the economy and we're good. Not to mention, I believe the NFL is getting a cut of that, which is great. Because I say it every fucking time the NFL comes up, but it's like, that is a tax-exempt organization, people. They made trillions of dollars. And that's a tax-exempt organization. I got my problems with the church being tax-exempt. I got my problems with the fact that it's like, look, you guys have the biggest, hugest, nicest, oldest, greatest buildings in every city is a church. Your real estate that you own would be like billions. But you're tax-exempt because it's like, oh, well, whatever, because they fucking believe in God, so I guess they shouldn't have to pay for anything. That makes sense. That would be restrictive if we were like, hey, you know, you ask people to give 10% of their money to you, and then you're like, well, don't tax us on it though, okay? Because that would be against our faith. That would be like you saying we don't have the right to practice our faith. Well, maybe you do have the right to practice your faith, but maybe you should practice it in a fucking strip mall instead of like a multi-million dollar complex. What the hell? Okay. Anyway. And this is... Okay, this is what bothered... I immediately, like, got back... This is what really bothers me about it, though. I have all these views. I express them online. I say them here. But I'm not, like, walking around day to day. The closest I got... So, our hero, Peyton Manning, got in trouble for doping, right? Which is where you replace your blood with good blood. And that's the same thing that Lance Armstrong got in trouble for, by the way. And we fucking crucified that motherfucker, even though every single person that he was competing against was doing the same thing. And then, like, you hear people arguing about it, and here's the argument that everyone says. They're like, well, he's the quarterback. It's not like he's running that much, so what's the difference? And someone said this at work, and I was like, well, doping improves athletic performance. And she was like, well, what difference does it make? He's the quarterback. And I was like, well, if it didn't make a difference, then why would he do it? And then I walked away from it. But I was, like, stewing about it. Because I was like, why are people defending this fucking football man who's making millions and millions of dollars and is like... And by the way, everyone's, like, defending him blood doping and, like, questioning. They're like, oh, I don't know, the health risks of blood doping and stuff. And it's like, this is a 39-year-old man who's going to get a hip replacement. Like, for real, I just read this article that Poon Master Flex sent me that's like, yeah, he'll be needing a hip replacement probably before he's 50. It's like one of the most invasive, hard-to-recover-from surgeries that exists. He's fucked. I mean, he's going to be walking with a cane when he's, like, 55. And yet, we're all concerned if he's blood doping. Oh, my God, I hope he's not doing that. I mean, I feel both ways about it. I'm like, I don't care because I think that the things that are being done to him are so much worse anyway, then who cares? But also I'm like, well, no, you can't just do that and then be like, oh, well, I get to because I want to. It's like, no, fuck you. Come on. We all know when you know the rule and you break the rule, you can't convince me then that it's like, well, it doesn't make a difference, because why would you do it then? If it didn't make a difference, you wouldn't do it. You would just live your life normal style. Okay? So fuck Peyton Manning, fuck the Broncos, fuck the Super Bowl, fuck the NFL, and fuck that store selling the jerseys. The only legit people in all of this different stuff is that couple with the dead eyes. Those are the true heroes. Those are the ones we should have. That was so entertaining to me, I can hardly describe it. All right. That was a lot of yelling. So another thing is going on. Last night, this hashtag on Twitter started getting big. Twitter is dead. Because what's going on is Twitter is changing. So for those who don't use Twitter, it's like this. Right now, Twitter, when you jump on there, you just see a timeline. And it's a literal timeline. So anyone you follow, you see their tweets chronologically. So, you know, if I follow 150 people and they all tweeted in a row, let's say, I would see one tweet from each of them one after another. And I see the things that the people I follow retweet and stuff like that. Now, what they're doing is they're changing. You may remember that Facebook used to be like Twitter. Basically, any friend I had, everything that they did, anyone who was my friend, their shit showed up on my timeline, which is the thing you see when you log in, and you just see it. I think they called it the wall or the whatever back then, but like you just saw everything your friends were doing in chronological order, regardless of how interested in them you were, regardless of like anything. So, you know, some fucker who you don't even care about, you might just see them post 100,000 times. And this was preferable, I'll be honest, even with Facebook, because then it was like, well, people you don't like, all you have to do is unfollow them. You're still their friend. They don't know that you've unfollowed them. But you don't have to see their dumb shit all the time. It's perfect. It's like the ideal fake friendship. It's basically the digital version of most analog friendships, which is like, I pretty much ignore this person except once in a great while when I get curious, and then I get curious for about 10 minutes, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's why I don't care about this person. I've just reaffirmed my reasons for not caring. So Twitter, but then Facebook changed, right? So Facebook went to this algorithm, and it went to a timeline that's not a timeline. What it did is it tried to figure out the people you interact with the most. You know, I guess if you tag them in pictures or like hit like on their stuff or whatever, and it would show you more stuff from people that you are more likely to comment, like, or interact with, and less stuff that was just like, you're just looking at somebody's stuff, right? Which is dumb, because now basically what they were doing, and here's where it gets conspiratorial, I guess. I mean, obviously they're trying to get you to click around more. Like, I think what they would tell you is they're like, oh no, this is great, we're weeding out the stuff you don't care about. But I think the truth is probably, and I don't know, I always feel like I sound crazy, and I'm really worried about sounding crazy, because my father is definitely crazy. And there you go. It's, you know, like, you know how some people are like, I've heard more than one person be mean about their mom's body and be like, I don't want my body to look like my mom's body, but it's going to, right? That's how I feel about my brain. So if true beauty's on the inside, good news for anyone who ends up with their mom's body, bad news for me who ends up with his dad's brain. So here's the thing. My theory is that by doing this, by changing it this way, what Facebook did is tried to get people to click around more. Because if I want to see what so-and-so is up to, I can click on their profile, and then I'm taken, and then once I click on their profile, I see all their shit in order. Like, it's like it was before, right? Except it's just that one person's thing. But so every time I click over to a new page, that reloads the entire page, and I have all new ads on the side, right? So that's another chance to put up an ad that increases their numbers a great deal in terms of page views and clicks and stuff like that. And so when they have an advertiser, they're like, look at how big our reach is. Look how many people you reached with this ad. Now, that also generates revenue, because then they can turn around and, you know, they started doing boost posts. So if you're a business and you have a business page, once upon a time, anyone who liked your business saw everything you posted. Now, it's like, they might see it, they might not, you just don't know. But the way to guarantee they see it is if you have your post boosted. And what that is you basically start an engine that is fueled by dollars, and that engine carries your message further. You know, you strap a rocket pack onto your message, you stuff a bunch of dollars in it, you light that fucker on fire, and then a bunch of people who probably don't even care about what you're selling see it. Okay? And so that means, though, that they have, when they're selling these ad spaces, they can be like, look how many people are going to see your ad. Because they probably can't do a lot. I'm sure they've figured out at this point, like, look, let's not talk conversions. Let's not talk about how many people see the ads and then actually click on them. Let's just talk about how many people will see the ad. Because that's all you're really guaranteed. Like, we could tell people how many get conversions, but that wouldn't really help us because I'm sure it's not very many. I have not signed up yet for that video game playing job where it's a guy from Halo on a couch playing video games. I've never clicked from Facebook to Amazon to buy something because I think that's fucking stupid. I will just go straight to Amazon, thanks. I don't need to kick a couple bucks Facebook's way. But here's the thing. It's just money. That's all it is it's more clicks, it's more stuff, it's more money. That's all. And so people were pissed and people are like, oh, well, this fucks everything up and it fucks up things for businesses, which I kind of agree with and kind of don't, because on the one hand, I'm like, well, I only follow businesses where it's like, I want to see what's going on, or, you know, I'm them telling me what they're doing is actually helpful to me. Or, you know, there's rumors about like whether or not a post that has a link in it will be seen by anybody. And I think that has to do with how much action it gets as well, because they're like, well, we don't want someone to go away from Facebook. We want them to stay inside a Facebook cycle, you know? All this shit. So basically, this is how Facebook got fucked up. I think everyone thinks Facebook got fucked up when they went public, right? Because they're like, oh, once it was publicly traded, it got all fucked up. And it's like, no, it's because they needed to make too much money. And they couldn't figure out how to do it without basically forcing people to, you know, it's like YouTube forcing people to sit through ads. And then YouTube does autoplay because then videos get more views because people just fucking leave that shit on. And then they can be like, look how many hours of video are viewed on YouTube. You know, don't you want to put this commercial in front of your thing? I've talked plenty about that. So here's the deal. Twitter has announced that they are going to go with an algorithmic timeline as well, which means when you log into Twitter, instead of seeing what you saw before, which was the people you follow, plus ads, you know, you would see like three things from someone you follow, then an ad from Amazon, or you would see like a huge ad from something at the top and then scroll down through things you saw, whatever. They're moving to an algorithmic timeline, the exact same thing that Facebook has done. And I kind of care, but I don't care. Well, here's what I don't like about it. I mean, I think it's a dumb thing to do, because I think that the strongest position Twitter has had for some time now is being the anti-Facebook, right? It's like, hey, those fuckers tell you what to do. We trust you to make your own decisions. You decide. You have the power. And I think that was kind of Twitter's strongest selling point, right? Was that it's like, well, you don't have to see a bunch of stupid bullshit that you don't want to know. You don't have to click on each individual person to see what they're doing. However, lots of people are on there last night hashtagging, you know, Twitter RIP and all this shit. And I saw quite a few people complaining about it as two different things. One thing is someone said that it was about, like, harassment. Like, this was some way they were using to block harassment on Twitter. Which, I'm told, is not true. I don't really see what that has to do with anything. Because, honestly, Twitter has the best harassment blocking feature ever, which is mute. And it's this great button you can push on any person. So anyone who follows you, anyone who tweets at you. So I can tweet at a person even if I don't follow them, and they can tweet at me if they don't follow me and stuff like that. But you can't send someone personal messages unless there's a following going on. However, they can still tweet at you, but then you click on that person's profile, you push mute. You never see anything from them again. You never see anything they tweet at you, even if they tweet at you constantly. You never see any of their tweets show up. They're basically dead on Twitter. The only time you could see them is if you purposely looked them up. If you were like, I'm going to see what this person's been doing lately, then you would see it, which is like, well, no fucking shit. If you look at someone on purpose, I guess you'll find them. It's a great system. That works great. And by the way, the person who's muted has no fucking idea they're muted. So it's the best thing in the world because they're muted, none of their messages are getting through, and they don't really know if you're muted or they're just not paying attention, right? Which is, by the way, we all know this to be true, but I don't think we acknowledge it enough because we're always trying to stop people who are being dicks from being dicks. But it's like, look, you're never going to stop them from being a dick. Just fucking ignore them. Like, if you don't pay any attention to them, they're going to stop being a dick. Or they won't, but you don't care because it's not getting through to you. That's why the mute was great. They can continue being a dick. You don't even have to actively ignore them. You have to have the guts one time to click mute. And that's it. It's over. So anyway, I'm told it's not harassment related. I don't really think it's harassment related because I just don't really know. I just feel like the mute is so effective that, like, why would you need another thing? I think that you've got everything you need to stop harassment right there. However, I was also reading a lot about how it's like, this is a violation of free speech. You know, Twitter was like such a free speech platform, and now it's not because it's algorithmic. So, like, the point was, okay, so I can tweet something and anyone who follows me would see it. And, you know, Donald Trump could tweet something and anyone who follows him would see it. So if someone followed both of us, the premise here is that those things would get equal, they have equal weight on Twitter. You would be equally likely to see them because if you just scroll through your entire timeline, you'd see it. Which I call bullshit on from the get-go. Because if you don't have as many followers as Trump, which I don't, it may come as a surprise to you, no one's going to see your shit. No one's going to see what I do on Twitter, except like the 100 people who follow me. I mean, and they don't, who cares? I mean, no one cares. And if you want to get more followers on Twitter, here's what you do. I tested this at work and it totally works. You just follow fucking everybody. You just follow so many people. And if, you know, 1% follows you back, well, if you follow 100 people a day, you get one a day, and by the end of the month, you've got 30, and by the end of the year, you've got 300 new people. You know, this is why when you click on someone's profile, you'll be like, you're following 12.5 thousand people? How is that possible? And it's like, well, because they're not reading tweets at all. They're just tweeting to as many people as possible. But here's like the thing that I don't really think it was free speech in the first place. But here's what I don't like when people are pulling that card, because that's the same thing they did on Facebook. They're like, you're censoring us. And like when people talk about being censored for being dicks, like on Xbox Live or whatever. On the one hand, I'm a very big free speech advocate. I like huge. I think it's like the most important thing. Right. And I do think it's very ironic that so many people were on Twitter yesterday bitching about like how it was like becoming a dictatorship, you know, and they're going to be censoring their tweets. And I was like, well, I mean, you're using the very platform that you're bitching about to bitch about it. Like, that is not how a dictatorship works, okay? I promise you, Kim Jong-un doesn't just give you the opportunity to be like, well, how are you guys feeling about me? We're going to have an open forum where you can complain. You know, I don't think Hitler was like, let's have an honesty session. We'll talk about what's wrong. That's the best way to get it out. Then we'll deal with it. That's, you know, and free speech, by the way, is a two-way road, okay? Free speech gives people the right to say things and gives you the right to complain about things. But you can't complain about the things if they can't say the things. So either way is censorship. You know, if you're kind of stopping people from saying things that are not covered by the, or that are covered by the First Amendment, if you're like, you should never be allowed to say that, well, you shouldn't be allowed to complain about it either then. They're the same. The same right is enacted by both parties. So fuck off with that. But here's the other thing. I don't understand why everyone's surprised by this. I don't know why everyone's like, oh my God, fucking Twitter was, you know, Egypt wouldn't have been free if it wasn't for Twitter. I think they would have figured it out. I know it was a part of what was going on, but I also think that if that hadn't existed, they would have figured out something else. Okay, I don't think it's like, well, Twitter was basically, you know, the CEO of Twitter was not on the ground with a machine gun starting a revolution or some shit. And I don't understand why people are so outraged about it. I don't know why they're so surprised. I mean, it's like not surprising to me. It's still disappointing. Like, I would still rather it just stayed the other way. I would rather it stayed the way it is because I can just curate my own what I want to do. And it seems to be something that only benefits people who game the system. You know what I mean? Like, if I was hearing about this algorithmic thing and I was following those 12.5 thousand people because of the followers it gained me, then yeah, I'd be excited about it because I'd be like, well, maybe this will be fucking actually worth looking at once in a while. You know, and it'll be like Netflix where the more I rate, the more I get. And, you know, it benefits people who spend more money. All this stuff. I mean, you can do a Twitter campaign. I did a Twitter. You know, everyone's like the evil of Facebook boosting posts. You can do the same thing on Twitter. I totally did it. It did nothing, by the way. If you're thinking of trying to, like, do something businessy that way, just stop thinking of that because it will do you no good. So I did this. I don't know why everyone is so surprised. You know, I keep saying that time and again. Why is everyone so fucking surprised? Why is everybody like, oh yeah, this is so crazy. I can't believe this is happening. It's like, it's happening. Let it go. And you know why it's happening? Because every tech company works the same way. Every tech company works like this. They're cool and new. And the reason they're cool and new is because they know how the old company is fucking up. And so they make a conscious effort to not fuck up the same way. So Twitter looks at Facebook and they're like, Facebook is kind of for kids. Facebook is like not very creative anymore. It's just like, you know, we want witty people to take over Twitter. We want interesting people to kind of rule Twitter, all that stuff. And so that's what happened. But then, once something is interesting for a while, the company gets bigger, and then they have to make money. And they have to make money. I mean, they don't have to, but they will. Because I don't think anybody could, like, I don't trust most people who would look me in the eye and say, like, if someone offered you, you know, several million dollars to basically continue doing the same thing that you're already doing, your day-to-day doesn't change a bit. But they offer you a few million dollars, it might be like not, it's not ideal for you. Like, it's not ideal. The user experience is less ideal than it was. But you're now making a couple million bucks. Who the fuck would say no to that? What kind of fool would be like, oh, well, fuck that shit? Nobody. Nobody's gonna say no to that. Okay? Because we're not children. And like, I think there's also, I have this perspective on this, and here's the perspective that I have. You do something for free for a long time. You have something be free, like a service or, you know, podcasts. Like, so many podcasts have been free for so long, and then they're like, well, we have a problem, because it's not free to do a podcast. And so some people start needing to make money, because they're like, well, honestly, if I can't keep doing this and losing money on it, You know? So then they charge for it, and then people are like, oh, fuck them. Fuck them. Fuck them. You know? They're... What a sellout. They're trying to make money off it. Or, you know, I've seen this happen. Like, I watch or listen to other shows, and, you know, somebody will quit their job and do it full-time, and it's going great. But then, like, listeners start bitching about how they're spending their money. They're like, oh, well, you live in this nice condo, and meanwhile, you're, like, asking people for handouts. And it's like, listen, fucko. Like, you either think it's worth what you paid or not. It's not like I go to the movies based on which celebrities are the richest, you know? I'm like, oh, well, Leonardo DiCaprio already has plenty of money, so I'm not seeing The Revenant. Okay? No one does that. Oh, my God. This guy almost just hit another guy, which a guy turned in front of another guy, which was crazy, but the other guy was not stopping. He was hitting the horn before he was hitting the brakes. That was crazy. Anyway. But here's the other thing that really bothers me when people are like, well, you're killing our bastion of free speech. Twitter, what happened? You are our best friend. You are a free speech friend. Let me tell you something about free speech, my friends. No company is obligated to offer you a platform for your free speech, okay? You hear this slogan all the time about free speech isn't free, and that's been, like, adopted by, you know, the military to be like, yeah, these people are fucking shooting brown people to protect your free speech, which I don't really think is true, but fine. And in fact, it seems to be that the people who are supposedly, you know, making sure our freedom isn't free are also the ones who are like, what? You're burning an American flag? I saw people die under that flag. And you're like, well, I mean, what were you, you know, we were protecting you as citizens. And it's like, I mean, you weren't really protecting me from a dude with a bayonet. You were kind of protecting our philosophies, right? That's been our wars lately have been a lot more protective of that than of anything else. But, okay, no company is obligated to give you, like, to create a free speech zone for you, to be like, well, I think people have a right to free speech, and we, as a company, need to make sure they can exercise that right. And, like, if you really care about free speech, you already know that. And you know that the only person who gives a fuck about your free speech is you. You are the only person who can make the platform, who can make the content, and put it out there. That's only you. Only you can do that. I mean, what do you think is free speech on the internet right now? What do you think is somebody, you know, what outlet do you think is like, this is the bastion of free speech? Because this Twitter thing is exactly what I've been talking about with all these other news outlets, right? Twitter is changing because they can sell more ads this way. They can get more clicks this way. They have people clicking around more. And they can show you what they want. They can show you things that link to things that they like. They can show you things that are exciting to them. They could basically make someone famous, you know, who's really promoting it. I mean, you see something like there's this show At Midnight, right? And they do Twitter games all the time. And they're fun. And you're like, well, Twitter fucking loves that. Because basically what At Midnight has figured out that no one else seems to have really grasped is like, here's how you use this. Here's how you make this work for you. Here's how you make Twitter worthwhile, right? And you make it fun and anyone can join in. You don't even have to watch the fucking show to join in. And it just gets a ton of tweets. And so they love that shit. And so I promise you, you'll be seeing a lot more of that. You'll be seeing a lot more tweets that are playing the At Midnight Twitter game. You know what I mean? Because it'll be like blowing up your timeline. Because they're like, the more people see this, the more they'll tweet about it, the more people are tweeting. That's what we want. So if you care about free speech, if that's your big thing, if you're like, free speech for the dumb, free fucking speech, then you need to figure out how to make it yourself. I mean, what about what I'm doing is, you know, oh, well, thank God. I mean, I have website hosting, but I pay for it. It's not free. You know, I've never paid for Twitter. I paid to boost a post for a Lit Reactor column, but I've never paid Twitter anything. I've never clicked on an ad. And if you go to something, by the way, and you never click on the ads and you never pay them, well, then they're not making any money from you. So what does Twitter owe me? Like, my hosting company owes me $150 of service for the next year, right? They owe that to me because I paid them for it. But what does Twitter owe us as a people? You know, what does Facebook owe you? How much money have you paid Facebook? I've paid Facebook exactly none money. I don't think they owe me anything. So when people get all upset about it, I just feel like, well, look, and, you know, you could go out there and change what you're doing. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like free speech is only for people who can pay for it. But what I am saying is, like, if you want free speech, you have to make it a priority in your life. Like, you can't just have it. I know that you have the right to it, but you know what that means is, like, you have the right to stand in the middle of your apartment and say whatever the fuck you want. You know, you can walk down the street and say whatever the fuck you want. You can write a bunch of letters to nobody with whatever the fuck you want in them. It does not mean that the government needs to step in and be like, Twitter, now Twitter, you need to offer these people speech. Obama tweet, 2016. It doesn't mean that. And it's never gonna mean that. And so, you know, you can start your free blog and you can do your free blog on Squarespace. But then when they say, hey, you know what? We don't let people blog about fucking people who fuck dolphins all day. Well, sorry. I guess in that case, you'll have to blog about something else, won't you? Or move to somewhere else. Because that's how it works. You know, that's how it works. If you're a company and you don't want people to blog about fucking dolphins on your website, you can make that choice. I'm sorry. That's how you can do it. It's just like, you know, and it's a complicated issue because what do I want? What would I like the world to be like? I would like it if the world was like, yes, we're Twitter and we like free speech. We're into it. And you know what that means is sometimes, you know, people get harassed on here. Sometimes people see some shit they don't want to see, and we're sorry about that, and we're coming up with tools to help you manage it. So basically, a company that really cares about free speech works it like this. They give you all the options. They start you off with the full stream, full force, and then you can edit it as you will. You can clamp it down as you would like to make it a useful, enjoyable experience for you. That's what a company that cares about free speech does. That's how they operate. That's how they make things function, right? But that's not what Twitter is doing. They don't care about that. That's not important to them. It's just not. So there you go. That's how I feel about Twitter. I'm like, fuck off. I mean, nobody seems to remember, and everyone is like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. And I'm like, does no one remember when fucking this happened on Facebook? And everyone was like, fuck that. I'm done with Facebook. None of you have left Facebook. Everybody I know is still on Facebook. Okay? Even Poonmaster Flex, who claimed she's not on Facebook, and she's not. She's deactivated, but then she activates every like couple months or so to just poke around, right? So I'm like, even then, not totally not on there. So everybody's still on there. Everybody's still using it. I see all of you posting on there. So just calm down. Like, if you don't like it, all right, move on to the next thing. Develop the new thing, right? I mean, it's all about where you go. If you really care, if that's your number one issue, if you're like, this is a free speech problem, jump ship. If you stop tweeting, if you stop reading tweets, if you stop clicking on that little blue icon on your phone, that's what brings it down. Not tweeting about it, not using the medium to complain about the medium. That is the exact opposite of what's a good idea. You have to just abandon ship and go somewhere else. Because you know why these other like networks and you know why Elo didn't work? Because no one used it. No one was on there. You know why Google Plus never worked? Nobody was on there. It didn't work. It didn't make fucking sense. Everybody checked it out. Everybody made a profile. And there's like one picture on there. Because it didn't make sense. And everybody was already on Facebook. And it was like, I have no compelling reason to jump over to Facebook. Well, now you've got a compelling reason to do something different. So if that's what you really care about, do something different. And if that's really important to you, if you're like, Twitter's where I get my news, then it's like, well, I don't know what to say. Go fuck yourself. Okay? G-F-Y. Whew. That's a lot of yelling already. I had something else I was going to talk about. It's dark in my vehicle. My motorized vehicular device. So I can't see what my notes say. Which is, you know, it's good because, like, I'm driving most of the time and I'm like, oh, yeah, also I have some notes. Mr. Something. Twitter free speech. Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember. This is another yelly thing, so I guess I should just do this now. If you're a bar, here's how you can know I don't like your bar. If you replace a Miss Pac-Man machine with a Big Buck Hunter, go fuck yourself. You are terrible in every way. I'm not one to judge someone by their worst, lowest moment of life, but I just assume that if you would make a decision like, we're going to replace Miss Pac-Man, possibly one of the best stand-up arcade games of all time in terms of like playability, fun, and it's kind of like everyone can agree on it. And I'm going to replace it with Big Buck Hunter, which is like you're hunting weird antelopes and shit in Africa, and you have this giant gun that's attached with like a fucking water hose. And then there's like babes and safari outfits in between each level, and it costs like $8 or something. It's like, just keep putting in quarters until, you know, here's what we do. We got a little microphone built into Big Buck Hunter, so people put in quarters, and when I hear it go, ah, Jesus Christ, how many fucking quarters do I got to put in this thing? Then the machine is like, insert one more coin, and then you're like, all right, fine, I'll do one more coin. And then it's like unclear, Big Buck Hunter, it's unclear how much you get to play. It's like you put it in for one play, and it's like, well, what does that consist of? Because it seems to be one play is like, well... You're in the jungle or in the woods or something. You see a fucking bear. You shoot the bear. And then it's like, oh, well, you can't shoot that bear. That was a woman bear. And I'm like, well, how the fuck was I supposed to know that? It's not like it has a... Miss Pac-Man has a fucking bow on her head. Because it's impossible to tell the difference between Miss Pac-Man and Pac-Man otherwise. That's why she has a bow and eyelashes. Is because the people who made that game were like, ah, shit. We don't know how to differentiate these two. Well, throw a bow on her. That's something. You know, they didn't give him a wang. And it's like, ah, we should have given him a wang. Because it's hard to just put in a vagina. I mean, what's that going to look like, right? So that's what happened. So you couldn't put a fucking bow on the mom bear, an apron, like fucking the Berenstain Bears mom, that stupid hat, that shower hat that she's always wearing. Something? You couldn't do something. I feel like you could have done something. There was something there that you missed out on, my friends. You could have just, I don't know, fucking give me a break. Do something, for fuck's sake. It's unclear how much you get to play, because I always play, I shoot a mother bear by, or, you know, I shoot a doe instead of a buck, which I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess because it has the horns. But then I'm like, why even put the doe on here? Just make, it's a fucking video game. Maybe on the first level, just give me the ones I'm allowed to shoot. And then be like, okay, now you can't shoot all of them. You know, when you play Lethal Enforcers, it's not like you play and, you know, that's a game where you're a cop and you're shooting bad guys. And then once in a while, some lady will pop up that you're not supposed to shoot. And, oh, my God, she pops up in the most inconvenient way, you know, where it's like, oh, my God, don't shoot, you know. But she's rushing out and she's, like, gesturing at you like her hands are a gun. because she's demonstrating, like, pantomiming what she doesn't want you to do to her. Don't shoot me like this. Pow, 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 pow. Or she, like, throws out fireworks when she jumps out, so they make a loud crack to be like, ah, well, maybe if I really shock him, he won't shoot me. Okay, those ladies don't come out, like, immediately. You go a little ways, and then you're like, oh, okay, I'm not supposed to shoot this lady. Fair enough. Or, like, when you play fucking Area 51, which is an alien shooting game, the aliens look really different from the people. The people have, like, bright blue suits with, like, a flak vest on, right? So you're like, all right, I'm pretty clear on what I am and am not supposed to shoot. But in Big Buck Hunter, it's like, okay, this is great. This is a really good thing to have in a bar. This is perfect. Fuck that bar. Fuck that bar and fuck any bar that considers that. Also, this same bar, this is the bar I went to with a couple friends a few weeks ago. And I'd been there, it'd been like a year at this point, but I'd been there before, and they had Miss Pac-Man, and it was fine. This time, they had Big Buck Hunter, and it was not fine. Because you know what else? Go in there, and so you walk in the door, and there's a guy there who's like, oh, well, let me take you to a table. I only got one table, it's a stand-up, is that okay? And we're like, yeah, it's a fucking bar, it's fine. So we're standing at this table, and he, like, leaves us with a couple drink menus. And then he just goes to 10 bar. And he doesn't explain anything, like, because apparently, oh, turns out, here's how it works. You get seated by some guy, sort of, seated at a standing table. And then he gives you menus. And then never returns. It is then up to you to go to the bar and get a drink. Now, that's fine. Just fucking tell me that. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do. You gotta tell me what's going on. I don't know how people... I know it's annoying. That's the worst part of every job. Let's be honest with each other. Let's be allowing. The worst part of every fucking job is the thing that you have to tell other people 1,000 times. Every stranger that comes in the door. And you gotta be like... Here's where the bathroom is. Right? There it is. However, the part of your humanity that needs to remain intact in order for you to be a functional human being, you know, the part of my humanity at my job that needs to remain intact is the part in my head that's like, you know what? The bathrooms are not well signed. They're in a weird spot. They're kind of inconvenient. You don't really notice them until you're leaving the building. Yeah. I can understand and empathize when someone's like, I didn't notice where the bathroom was. So there you go. That's what you need to do if your bar works in some kind of fucking bizarre manner like that. When your bar is like, okay, we have the most strangest system we could think of. And here's how it goes. And I read this article the other day that was about like how... It was about, you know, it was like we interviewed 2 bartenders to ask them like... How do you make sure that people, or how should people approach you in order to get served? Like, how should people act in order to make sure that they get served and they get what they need, right? And it was so fucking annoying because it's like this thing with bars and bartenders where they act like they are doing you the biggest favor in the world. You can go to any sandwich shop on this planet and you get better service. And they're like, yeah, we make sandwiches, you know. You don't have to fucking eat me out or suck my dick for me to make you a sandwich. I work at making sandwiches. There you go. But at a bar, they're like, well, I'm going to put liquor into a cup. Or sometimes not even do... Sometimes I'm going to uncap a beer. And I guess most of the work that's being done, quote unquote... is like the person sort of trusting you not to just hurl a glass bottle through a fucking window or something. Like, well, it's pretty taxing for me to not be worried about that. So that's why you should be doing, you're doing me a big favor. It's like you're coming into my home when you come into this bar. And like, I don't understand why it's such a big deal. So these bartenders, you know, and this is the other thing. They're always like, how much should you tip a bartender? Well, we asked bartenders, and they said this amount that seems pretty high. Seems a little high. They're like, well, if you don't tip a bartender, you're being a fuckface. So here's what these bartenders, what their tips were like. It was like, or their advice. You know, they're like, well, don't have money out. Don't just like have a bill out. Don't wave at me. Don't do anything like that. When I come up to you, be ready to order. Like, if you're ordering for four people, don't ask them what they want when I get there. Be ready and all this shit. Now, here's the thing. Yeah, I would prefer that too. If when people called the bartender over, they were like ready to go. Guess what, motherfucker? This is every customer service job. When people approach you, they're not like, okay, I have my question. I have it in a understandable format for you, and I'm ready to deliver it now. It's like, okay, here's a little backstory. Here's my interpretation of what's going on. Here's how what I would like you to do. Blah, blah, blah. And you have to like reset every time. That is every customer service interaction. So don't get all pissed off when it's like people, oh, every time someone comes up to me in this bar, it seems like they're not totally ready to order. Well, no fucking shit. That's because they don't even know when you're going to get there. They're just like, whatever, it's going to be 10 hours. And then, you know, they're saying, like, don't have money out, which I was like, well, that's crazy. Because every time I've gone to a bar, I don't, like, wave money. But I just have cash in hand so they know that I'm ready to go, right? Then, you know, they're like, oh, well, make sure and tip big because we remember people who tip. Not just that time, but the other times. I'm like, okay, so basically you're saying, like, well, if I pay you extra, you'll do a passable job. They also said, I know it might seem like it, but I promise we don't like go to attractive people first. And I don't necessarily think that's what's happening. I mean, sometimes there's douches who do that. I think it's more about like when you go to a bar, God forbid you go to a bar on a night when the bartender's friends are there. If they have any friends there, they're just going to be standing around chatting with their fucking idiot friends and not working. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Also, should we turn this around and be like, okay, here's what I think you should do if you have a bar. Here's what Pete thinks you should do if you want to have a bar. Number one, have fucking regular hours. I know you're a bar. I know you're like, oh, it doesn't seem worth it to be open at regular hours. But every time, there is this place, it used to be the Crush Room. Now it's like the 16th Street Tavern, right? Every time the Crush Room, it was like, it was closed two nights a week, just fucking at random, for no reason. I don't know if they didn't have the staff, I don't know if they closed early. I would go by there, because it's like two blocks from my place, and it's closed. And I would never make plans to go there. Like, people would be like, oh, should we go to the Crush Room? And I'd be like, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be open. You just don't know. So no, we would not go there. And now there's a new place open there. And I was like, well, that's fucking badass because now we don't have to deal with the fucking stupid Crush Room. And we go in there. It was probably 9. And, you know, there were two other people in there. And the bartender's like, hey, how you guys doing? He's like, well, we're going to our kitchen's closed. We'll probably close in a little bit, but you can have a beer. And then he stayed open and let us have a second beer. But I was just like, I mean, your sign says you're open till 10. And at 9 o'clock, you're like, don't want to rush you guys, but whatever. Here's what you do. If you're open till 10, you stay open till 10. No matter fucking what. Do not plan on anybody leaving before 10. Okay? And then when we're ordering our second beer at 9:20, then you say, you know, we are closing at 10. Now, it's totally fine. I'll get you that other beer. I just want you to know. I don't want to give you a beer and then rush you through it. I just want you to know. Okay, that's fine. Keep me appraised. But, you know, I could drink two beers in an hour when I have a two-block walk home. That is not a tough feat. But I'm never going to come there if I'm like, well, if no one was in there, they're closed. You know what I mean? I'm like, fuck it. We'll go somewhere that I know is going to be open. Okay, so that's number one. Be open. Number two, have a staff of bartenders who are like people, who like people and who can tolerate people and who don't really get upset because people are idiots and assholes. That's all you need. You need bartenders who are in like a good mood. It seems like half of bartenders are hired because, you know, the employer is like, well, I think this dude could fuck some shit up if like people get rowdy. And you're like, you don't just get a bouncer to do that. You don't need a bartender who's like thinks he's an ultimate fighter. That is the worst thing. Just get nice people. Get people who are nice. That's all. Because I can tell you right now, if someone's nice, I don't mind waiting. It's just like, just be nice to me. That's all. When I have to wait and there's a bunch of people standing around, I'm not going to get pissed off at you. Okay, number three. If you are a place that gets crowded, you have the bar. So you've got the bar where the bar stools are and shit. You need to have a side of the bar with no stools on it that's not fun to stand around. Because that's a place where people who are in the bar can come up and get a drink. So then it's clear, like, hey, if you want to get a drink, if you want to get served, go to this spot, okay? And then also, because sometimes you'll be at a bar, and if it's crowded, and you're sitting at the stool, everyone's just wedged in on both sides of you trying to get the bartender's attention and talking in your face and stuff like that. And you're like, well, this place blows. Just have a place, it doesn't even have to be a wide spot, but just have a place where it's like, hey, this is where you can order. Just put a big fucking sign up with a middle finger pointing straight down that says, order here, get your drink, fuck off. Okay? Just go away. After you get your drink there, get out of the way and let people line up and do it that way. It's so much easier. Next. Your bathroom does not have to look like it's from Hiroshima. Okay, Hiroshima is what these bathrooms look like they came from. An imaginary country that was bombed with an atomic shit bomb and pee. It is possible to get the smell of pee out of a bathroom. I know it's like, you could look at it and be like, oh, drunk people are pissing everywhere. And like, da 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 da. And you know, well, why even clean it? It's just going to get dirty again tomorrow. I'll tell you why you clean it. If your bathroom is clean, And you're nice, people will feel worse about screwing up your bathroom. This is a fact. It's still going to happen. I'm telling you right now, at the public library, the bathroom gets fucked up like once a week. Okay? If you're just open to the public, it's going to get fucked up. And that's not necessarily drunk people. I was going to say that's sober people, but I was like, maybe not always. But that's people who aren't, you know, known to be drunk at the moment. Okay? So there you go. If you got a bar, you need to get that fucking bathroom. Get your fucking bathroom game strong. And just, you need to make your bathroom, don't have drywall, just have tile all over, and just get a power washer, put a drain in the middle of the floor, and you just spray that motherfucker down. You know, once a day, just basically take it through the car wash. I don't know why this can't be done. I don't know why this doesn't work. I don't know why, if I had a house, if I was custom building a house, I would totally do that. I would totally make the bathroom just 100% waterproof. And it's like, hey, once a month, I just blast this mother down with Tilex. Okay? I power wash it off. It's fucking sparkling clean. I nearly pass out from the fumes. That's how clean it is. That's so good. That is so raven. And that's, I think that's all you really need. Also, by the way, I don't know. Just have some drinks that are of a reasonable price. Okay? That's all I ask. Just have something that's not, it doesn't have to be cheap as fuck, but it's like, look, I know that when I buy a 12 pack at the grocery or the fucking liquor store, it's like if I'm paying $2 a beer, I'm like, whoa. This, if a six pack is $9.99, I'm like, ooh, Jesus, that's getting a little on the pricey side. But when I go to a bar, it's like, well, this beer's $4. That's not bad. So just, you just need to have that $4 beer, though.
You have to have it. Or give me like a deal of like a $4 beer in a well. Something decent. That's all I ask. I don't think that's asking a lot. And have fun. Oh, and if you do karaoke, the DJ is not allowed to do karaoke when other people are on the list. That is a huge one. I didn't think that would be a huge one, but that's a huge one, it turns out. You are not allowed to do karaoke in line with the other people. The only time you as the DJ are allowed to karaoke is because no one's doing it and you're trying to drum up interest, okay? We did not... I don't really come there to watch other people do karaoke, but sometimes someone's great or someone's wasted, and it's awesome. I promise you I don't come to watch an employee do karaoke. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. You would think these rules did not need to be said. You know what I mean? But there you go. All right. So that's my article in response. My audio article. Thanks for listening once again. I hope you enjoy the fucking Super Bowl. Also, one last thing. I'm sitting in a parking lot next to, and there's just two little boxes of Little Caesar's pizza and a sauce cup. People who leave garbage in the parking lots are fucking savages. I'm not even like a save the earth person. I don't give a fuck about the earth. And even I think that's crazy. And the worst people are the ones who leave goddamn diapers. That happens so much. We live in a world where you're never more than like 250 feet from a fucking garbage can. Put a diaper in a garbage can, for God's sake. Where do people think this pizza garbage is going to go? It just goes, and they're like, well, I don't want to have that diaper in my car. And you're like, okay, so you just put it in a parking space. Someone runs it over. Do you think no one has to pick that up? Some poor fucking person has to pick that up eventually. And it's worse now because it's been mushed by a car. It's been out in the heat. It's worse. Yeah. You know what? If you don't want to have dirty diapers in your car ever, don't have a baby. That's the way to not have dirty diapers in your car. If you have a baby, just plan on it. Plan to have it. The one I saw, I swear to fucking God, it was a 10-second walk in two different directions to a garbage can. It was immediately adjacent to a Starbucks, which I'm like, just fucking walk that diaper into the bathroom. I promise you there's a bathroom trash. There's a changing table in there. There's a changing table in there. That means they are prepared to possibly have a diaper in the garbage. That is a possibility they've acknowledged, and just fucking do it. Okay? There's no excuse for throwing a diaper in the parking lot when you could be in a Starbucks bathroom throwing it in the garbage in 10 seconds. Fuck you. You are the worst of society. Fuck the NFL. Fuck Peyton Manning. Fuck the Super Bowl. Fuck diaper leavers. I'm out.